Jewish, but he crossed over to marrying and intermarrying or intermingling with Gentiles.
Amen.
And so that made him a Samaritan. And so that's why Jesus called him a foreigner, because he was outside of the Jewish race and the Jewish descent and faith. Amen. And so that's what Jesus is saying when he said he was shocked, he was blown away, because he's saying, here I came to save my people first, which was Israel, which was of the Jewish descent. And here comes one who not of my race, but out of my compassion, since I'm Jesus, since I'm not like my people, I'm trying to get my people here on earth in 2020 to be like me, Jesus, and to operate like I do. But I saved the one outside of my race, and it blows me away. I thought that I would have just saved him and he would have went on, the Samaritan, and the other nine would have came back. And that's what Jesus was saying in his mind, that my people, the Jewish, 100% Jews, they wasn't 50-50. They were not black and white, blood, or white and black, but he had blood ties. They were 100% Jewish, the nine. And I saved my own people. I healed them. I cleansed them. And they would not come back to give God glory for what I did. I relieved them of their ailment. Now, you have to remember now, we might not want to hear this, but the leprosy was before leprosy was and all kind of stuff that was going on with this disease called leprosy on your body. It was irritable. It was irritating. And Jesus relieved them of that pain and that irritation, and yet they did not come back to give God glory, and that blew Jesus away. But look what Jesus says. He says, but this foreigner, an outsider, a Samaritan, came back. Look what he said. And he told him, get up and go on your way. Your faith that saved you. So if we look at this text properly in its context, Jesus cleansed all 10 of them, but only 9 left with their healing, and only one came back to give God the glory, and this was a foreigner. And so Jesus says, he moved on, and he says, and he told him, the scripture says in 19, Luke 17 and 19, and he told him, get up and go on your way, your faith has saved you. So this lets me know, as looking at the text properly, that 10 were cleansed, all right, of the leprosy. But only one, the Samaritan outsider, the outcast, he was cleansed of his leprosy and he got saved.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Double blessing for his gratefulness.
That's right. He got double blessing every time was for his gratefulness. And that's what God is trying to get us to see. Not only did he heal the 10 lepers, physical body, but Jesus has so much more for us when we just learn how to have a humble and a grateful heart and spirit to the things that God is doing and has done for us. And so look what it says. And so the Samaritan, on the other hand, was not part of the people of God. Yet the Samaritan was the one to express worship to God and thankfulness to Jesus. When we thank God for the little that we're doing in our lives and learn how to be grateful, God will give us more. We don't even have to ask. Go ahead. God will give us more. Go ahead.
I see something in the text too.
Come on. Bring it out.
When Jesus was saying about the Samaritan was the only one came back to express his worship to God and his thankfulness to Jesus, and the 9 Jewish men left. And out of their ignorance, they figure because they was already God's chosen people, they are part of God's family firsthand because Jesus said it. They just can go ahead and they was going to automatically, you know, be forgiven because they were of the Jewish faith already.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't have to give thanks over because I'm already in the God family.
You're right. Just like today.
Arrogance.
That's right, just like today. And that's a good point you brought out. Just like today, we spoil some people within the church and make them feel because they are members, they have extra privileges over others, which you do have privileges by becoming a member of God's family. Amen. And a member of your local church. Yes, you do. But you still have to do what's required of your membership of Jesus Local Church and your membership of being in the God family. Amen. Amen. And we have to give our faith and duty and serve Jesus and serve others. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's move on. Why should a heightened sense of our unworthiness lead to a grateful attitude of worship of God for our salvation in Jesus? You want to read that, Mr. Thomas?
As the Samaritan fell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As the Samaritan fell before Jesus to thank him and give glory to God, he received a word from Jesus weightier than any healing of any disease. He found the assurance of eternal salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Because he came to Jesus in faith.
Mm-hmm.
We find the same when we come to him in faith.
Mm-hmm.
On the cross, Jesus met our deepest need we didn't realize we had.
Mm-hmm.
He came to save sinners from their sin, and by faith we receive the salvation Jesus purchased through his death and resurrection.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That was good. Amen. That was real good. Now let me look at this. Let me read the question again, and I'm going to break some scriptures down, break this down where we can see it a little clearly, and maybe God might be showing you something else in the lesson that you might want to share pertaining to the lesson. Let me read the question again. Why should a heightened sense of our own unworthiness lead to a grateful attitude and worship of God for our salvation in Jesus? First of all, we stand needed for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And no amount of sin or separation is too great for his mercy to meet us. I believe, Lady Thomas, before I move on, just give me 1 minute, that a lot of people that we run across in our daily distribution as we go out of giving Jesus or offering Jesus to people, people make this excuse. They say, I've been church hurt. People church over here think they're higher than Jesus. They don't want to accept us. This church over here accept us, but they require too much of us. This church accept us, but they won't help us. So I believe that people feel this way, like the lesson is reading to us to explain this question that I just pointed out. I believe that people feel they have done so much wrong that what they have done is too high for God to reach. I believe they feel that they have been done so much that the sin in their life have separated them from God. But can I tell us, we can do nothing to earn our way into heaven, but salvation is a gift of grace from start to finish. God sets us right with him as we look to Jesus to meet our every need. I believe they're not looking to Jesus, they're looking to man. And that's why a lot of people don't want to come into the house of the Lord or don't want to be saved and accept Christ, because they feel that men are letting them down. And true, men will let you down.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes unintentional, because we're not Jesus. We can't meet every need.
Mm-hmm.
We can help meet some needs of the people, but Jesus can truly meet every need that we have. So I believe if people look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, they will be all right.
Mm-hmm.
And though the leper show us the initial mercy of Christ in healing, the Samaritan leper showed us that we have a constant need of him. Jesus knows that and stands ready in heaven to help us moment by moment.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that something to know that Jesus is sitting in heaven at the right hand and he longs to help us? Mm-hmm. Only if we just make the right move, only if we just move towards him, if we just say, Jesus, look, I'm tired of depending on man down here. I have went my last straw. I can't take it anymore. But God, I'm going to give it to you. If we do that, then we know that Christ can and will meet all of our needs. Understanding the mercy of Christ in this way lifts our hearts to worship. As we gather before the throne of grace, we find our hearts singing in thanksgiving. He heals, he justifies, singing in thanksgiving. He saves. And so, in your heightened sense, in my heightened sense of unworthiness, what leads us to a grateful attitude and worship of God in Jesus? Can somebody answer that question? I'll start off since I'm the teacher. What leads me, knowing that I'm ungrateful, not worthy, is that he provides for me, and he has provided for me, and he forgive me of all my sins. That would make me grateful, knowing I'm unworthy. Could I have somebody else?
And my grateful attitude is knowing by his grace and his mercy that he saved me in spite of me and forgive me and renew his mercy in my life daily. And no matter how I fall or how many faults I have, even being saved, I know I can go to Jesus and he gonna forgive me over and over and over and over again.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I don't want to keep doing the same thing.
Amen.
His grace.
Amen.
I'm forgiven.
Amen. That's good. By his grace, you are forgiven. I know at the bottom of the Sunday school book where it says, justification by faith. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Justification refers to the moment when a person is objectively what?
Justified by
Christ. Well, that's good. You can say made righteous, but the book said declare. Declare righteous before God because on the righteousness of Christ, atoning death. God declared us righteous through who? Through us? Through our works? Through who?
The Christ work on the cross.
All right. Christ finished work on the cross. So God did that himself. Since we couldn't save our own self, Jesus justified us and he declared us righteous before God. Because of Jesus Christ atoning death. This act of death.
You've been listening to Bishop Wayne Thomas, House of Praise, Hill Gospel Missionary Baptist Church, located at 1439 England Drive here in Alexandria, Louisiana. For more information and service times, please call 318-664-6878. To send correspondence, and if this program has been a blessing to you, you may write P.O. Box 8325, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71306. This broadcast has been brought to you by Sinlai Moving and Delivery Service. This phone number is 318-704-6187. Tune in every week at this same time for Bishop Wayne Thomas and the House of Praise Full Gospel Missionary Baptist Church, right here on KAYT and KQJO.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Negative. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your people. We thank you for all that we felt, all that we've heard, all that is taking place to this point, God. We pray, God, that you would just open us up now and interject your word. Father, we thank you for healing, helping, and hearing us, Lord, during this time. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you would give me clarity of thought and pursue your spirit and mind. Let me with the pen of a greater writer. The hearts of the hearers be the tablet, and with you write upon the word of a greater writer. The word of God that brings healing and deliverance and power and peace and even prosperity to those that hear and believe it. Father, we ask you now, Lord, that you would just have your way. Have your way till sinners are converted. Have your way to the discouraged or encouraged. Have your way, God, to the oppressed and the depressed. And Lord, and the perplexed, Lord, that they are delivered from whatever their ailments and whatever has them bound. Father, break every chain. In the name of Jesus right now. Lord God, just have your way. Lord, after you've done all that you wanted to do, and have, just after you healed and helped us and delivered us and brought us up and placed us in a place above the place that the enemy wants us to be, Father God, we'll be careful to give you glory, honor, praise, and we'll magnify your holy name together. And Lord God, we'll join in with the many-winged seraphim and the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You are holy, God. And your glory fills the earth. And we thank you now, and we praise your holy name. The matchless and magnificent and miraculous and mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. And the topic and title and thought for this message is be strong and endure. Amen. I want to encourage you and to be strong and to endure. That you got to plead the one who chose you to be a soldier. So if he chose you to be a soldier, that means he chose you to battle because he knew you were capable. He chose you to battle because he knew that you would be able to endure, that you would be able to go through whatever it is that he's going to let come your way, whatever war he has, whatever Satan trying to bring about, you'll be able to withstand the satanic forces of evil that come against you because you are empowered by God and you're able to endure hardness as a good soldier because you got on your helmet of salvation. You got on your breastplate of righteousness. You got your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You have your shield of faith and your sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. And he didn't give you anything for the backside because he didn't intend for you to run from the devil. He intends for you to stay forward. He intends for you to face your enemy, to face your trouble. Come on, to face your trial, to face whatever it is that the enemy put in front of you. I'm here to face it. Oh, come on and say amen. And when I faced it and I overcome it, he told me to forget those things which are behind and reach forward to what's before me and press toward the mark for the prize of the high call, which is in Christ Jesus. Y'all still looking at me funny here. We got to understand that he didn't give us anything to cover our backside because our backside is already covered. David said, goodness and mercy shall you got goodness and mercy following you all around all the days of your life. Stay with me now. Stay with me now. I believe we got some live ones in here today, Lord. He says in verse number 5, he goes on and he starts to tell us, he says, if any man strive for masteries, the word masteries mean, is the Greek word stephanos, so, and it means to a crown. If any man strive to be crowned, it's a victor's crown. If any man strive to have a victor's crown, if you strive for victory, if you want to have victory, anybody want to have victory other than me? He said, if you strive for victory, he said, you can't get your crown except you strive lawfully. In other words, you need to know what's right. You got to do it right. You can't break the rules and win this thing. You can't do it any other way. You got to do it the way the rule maker made the rules, and you got to follow his rules. You know how when we run a race, you got to stay in your lane. Amen. You got to stay in your lane. Tell somebody, stay in your lane. God has put some boundaries around you that will keep you in your lane. And if you just run your race with patience, oh, come on and say, man, it's too many of us running outside of our lane. Too many of us wanting to quit in the middle of the lap. Come on and say, man, too many of us let the monkey jump on our back. And we got to stop that. We got to pace ourselves and endure hardness as a good soldier. We got to make sure that as I'm running, that I'm not going to let this monkey get on my back. Because I've been training for this day. I'm not just going to hop in a race and I haven't trained. I'm not going to just get in the race and I haven't did anything to discipline myself. And what that means is that you got to discipline yourself. You got to stop eating some things. You got to stop drinking some things. You got to stop doing some things in order for you to get in shape for the race. And God is telling us that no man that run a race, you'll get in that race knowing you out of shape, knowing that you ain't got no wind. Come on and say amen. But you got to strive lawfully. You got to do it in the right way. You got to go by the rules of the coach. Who is my coach? The Holy Ghost down on the inside of me. He lets me know, don't do this. He lets me know, stay in this lane. He lets me know, watch this. He lets me know, don't look who's behind you. Look at what's before you. Preach in this house. I amen myself because I can't get no amens today. But he tells us, he says that if you're going to be crowned, if you're going to have victory, you got to do it like the Lord said, do it. And I'm here to let you know that I don't care what the enemy say. I don't care what the street committee say. I don't care what he say and she say and us and I heard they say. But I'm here to let you know that if you do it the way the Lord said do it, that you're going to win. And one thing to keep in mind, that this race that we're running, it is not a sprint. Come on and say amen. It is a marathon. So it doesn't matter if you come in first, but what matters is if you finish it. Do I have anybody that say, I'm going to finish the race. I'm going to be like Paul. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. But not only to me, but everybody that finishes with me. I wish I had somebody. Verse 6 says, to be engaged. I'm trying to get out of here. I'm sorry. Trying to get out. Okay. He says, verse 6 tells us to be engaged because he begins to talk about, you know, those who can't understand running because you ain't never did it. Maybe you're kind of a Grecian type people that you know how about planting. Because this is the season, if you had no, this is the season for us to begin to sow seeds. All right. He says, a husbandman that laboreth must be the first partaker of the fruits. The word labor, maker of the labor, work until you're weary. Until you're almost to the point where you can't stand up. That's labor. Now I know some of us say, I've been working hard and look like I ain't getting no progress. But a husbandman, a farmer, understands that when you put the seed in the ground, you can't worry about it. Amen. And you can't see it growing. Amen. Because it grows down first. Yeah. Y'all not with me here. Amen. So you've been worried about when is this thing going to come to fruition. And what it's been doing, it's been growing down first. Oh, my God. Then it's going to come up. But he tells us the husbandman that he engages himself in this labor so much that he gets up before sunrise and he doesn't stop till sunset. You got to put some time in. Oh, come on. Put in some work and do. And he says, husbandman, that means the farmer, or the one who is engaged to take care of whatever he puts out there. See, you ought to be engaged to make sure that whatever you put out there, you're going to oversee to make sure it happens. If you put your word out there, make sure you be there when you say you're going to be there. Come on and say amen. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Amen. He said, labor must be the first part of the fruit. He said, if you work, you're going to be the first one to get, you're going to be the first one to reap the benefits of it. I don't know about you, but I put in some work. Amen. And I'm not bragging on what I've done, but what I'm saying is that I know that this works, and you become the first partaker of the fruit because you're the first one to see it come up. When nobody else is paying attention, you out there looking, you say, oh, I got a harvest coming. When nobody else sees it, you say, oh, my God, I'm so thankful. I'm already thinking about who I'm going to bless with this harvest. Oh, come on and say amen in this house. And so you got to start seeing for yourself. See, the farmer goes out there and he puts it in the ground and he has faith that God's going to give some rain and he's going to give some sunshine and he's going to receive a harvest. But when we put something in the ground, we keep digging it up to see what it's doing. You got to stop. Come on, tell somebody, quit digging it up. Quit digging it up. We keep digging it up to see if it's doing anything. But let me tell you something about a seed. If you put a seed in the ground, you know, a seed, you can put it on a shelf and it won't do nothing. It'll just sit there on the shelf. But then as soon as you put it in the ground, it begins to germinate. It begins to break up. And it begins to grow out. It's something about being put in the ground. But the other thing is that when you fertilize it with manure and things like that, it begins to grow. And in order for a farmer, look at this, the husbandman labor, what is he laboring in? He's laboring in mess. Y'all don't hear me. Sometimes I got to labor through mess. I got to put this dung on there. I got to put some manure. Oh, y'all don't hear me. I got some mess that I got to go through. I got some mess sometimes get on me. I got some mess just so that I can watch this harvest come. Just so I can watch this seed grow. I got to get in this mess. Oh, come on and say amen here. Come on, put your mess shoes on and walk through this mess with me. Put your mess clothes on and walk through this mess so that when we come out of this mess, when I go to town to show them what I got, I ain't got to wear my mess clothes. Come on and say amen. When I put my mess clothes on, don't nobody know but the folks that's right there with me in the mess, because they messed up too, preaching this house. And since they messed up, they ain't got no room to talk about my mess, because they got mess on them too. But when we get a harvest, we can put our clean clothes on and we can walk up and say, see what the Lord has done. And see, people see the glory, but they don't know the story of the mess that you had to dump. The mess that you had. I'm gonna quit preaching. I'm just my God. But I gotta be engaged. I got to be willing to endure the mess. Y'all with me? Are you willing to endure the mess? The mess don't smell good. The mess don't even look good. Oh, Lord. Let me go on. Verse 7 brings us to, after we engage, he says that you'll be enlightened. Verse 7. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Notice what Paul said. He didn't say the Lord give you an understanding. I keep running back to that because we got to get in our head that the only understanding is how God understands things. And we have to be in tune with how he understands, because then my opinion don't mean nothing, because I just know what God said. And even the doctor's opinion won't mean nothing when you know what God. Y'all with me? Well, you know what God said. The people's opinion about you don't mean anything when you know what God said. So I understand now. And he says, if you consider what I say, all the stuff that I'm saying, if you consider that you need to be empowered and be strong in the Lord and endure hardness as a good soldier and not to be entangled with this world and to labor or to run your race and stay in your lane and do it lawfully, don't break the rules, and then be like a husbandman that waits on the harvest and you'll partake in it. If you hear what I'm saying and consider it, the Lord will give you understanding in everything that you encounter. There's going to be some stuff that you encounter that the Lord is going to enlighten you about, and he's going to keep you from complaining while you go through it, because he's letting you know that I'm just taking you through this so I can bless you. I just brought them in your life to talk about you so that they can publicize who you are, so people, when they see you down, they'll know when I pick you up and put you up there, they'll be able to say, is that the same person? Oh, they must have been lying on him, because there ain't no way he can still be doing this and have been doing that. Y'all don't hear me in here. Oh, yeah, he said, let them see you burning. Hey, let them see you in the fire rather than burning. Let them see you in the fire, because when you come out, you'll be like pure gold. I wish I had somebody in the house. Let them see you go through. Let them see you deal with your trouble. Let them see you with tears in your eye, because he'll turn your mourning into dancing. He'll give you joy in the midst of sorrow. Oh, come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, he'll make your heart glad. Come on and say, consider his ways. Consider what he says. He said, and the Lord will help you to understand why you're going through what you're going through. The Lord helps us to understand that what I'm going through, I won't be like this always, because I'm going through it so I can learn a lesson of value. I'm going through it so I can learn a lesson of friendship. I learn a lesson of love. I learn it's something that I'm understanding while I'm going through. That's why he tells us in the Proverbs that in all thy getting, get understanding. We need to get understanding in everything we go through. I'm getting understanding everything I go through. How do you know? Because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that all things work together for the good of them that love God and to the called according to his purpose. Do I have anybody in the house that said, I know that what I'm going through is working for my good? Oh, come on. If you don't know it right now, you need to start declaring it until you believe it, that what I'm going through is working for my good. I don't know how it's going to work, but I do know the person that's going to make it work. Oh, who is the person? If God be for us, then who can be against? It's not important for you to know how it's going to work, but you need to know who's going to make it work. Do you know who it is? I'm talking about Jesus now. We need to know that he is